Hello, listeners. Today we are going to be talking about the faith of God. What does it mean to have the faith of God? Faith originates from God. It comes from God. It's a quality of God. It's in the nature and the character of God. And God is the one who is the author of all faith. So, when we talk about faith, we have to realize the faith comes from God. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 describes the faith. And it describes, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The faith of God is not something we feel or we see. It comes from God, and it is a quality that we receive when we get born again. That born again nature, which is reborn in the nature of God, that nature once again begins to be able to walk in the faith of God. Faith is not a human quality. Faith comes from God. It originates from God. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. And if you read Hebrews chapter 11, all throughout that chapter, it's a kind of a long chapter, you will understand how different people through history that believed God and believed in His Word, and how they were able to please God and walk with God. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, it says, by faith we understand the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. It's by faith we believe in creation. That's the only way we can believe in creation is by faith. We believe that the Word of God says God created the heavens and the earth, and it describes in Genesis chapter 1 what happened at creation and how God created the whole thing. So the verse 3 says, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, saying by faith we understand the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. Everything that we see, the universe, the galaxies, this earth, everything that we see on this earth was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Everything that we see, things that we can touch and feel, was created with invisible thing. That the invisible part is the faith of God and the Word of God. I want to go to Genesis chapter 1 at this moment, and I'm going to show you how God operates and how this faith comes. And Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning, chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And I'm going down to the verse 3, it says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. So what happened here? God was creating this huge creation with the universe, the galaxies, the earth, and everything that we see today. God began to create just with words. There was nothing seen when He was creating what was to be seen today. It was invisible things. And so God's word was that invisible power behind the whole creation. And the verse 3 says, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. When God said, let there be light, He had no question that is exactly what was going to happen. That the reason is because God was releasing His faith, which is a quality of God. It's a virtue of God. faith originates from God. It's a quality of God. It's in His nature. And God operates through faith. And He was releasing His faith into His word as He spoke. And as He spoke those words, that's exactly what came into being. I'm going to go down to the verse 6 in Genesis chapter 1. It says again, "Then God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." I'm going down to verse 7, and at the end of verse 7 it says, "And it was so." So every time God said something, the result was, it was so. Verse 9 again it says, "Then God said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so." And verse 10 it says, "And God saw that it was good." Everything that God created was good. Verse 11 it says, "Then God said," once again He said something, "let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind, with the seed in them on the earth. And it was so." So every time God spoke, He was releasing His faith through His word, and whatever He said was what was going to come into being. That's how He created the worlds. Now, how do we receive this faith? We receive this faith by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17 it says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The more we hear the word, the more we read the word, the more we study the word, the more we meditate on the word, we keep receiving that word of God into our spirit man. First, we receive it into our intellect. We understand it with our mind. When we read the word of God, we first understand the word of God with our mind. But your mind does not produce faith. Faith is not released into the mind, the soulish part of our being. It is released into our spirit man, which is born again after the likeness of God. So the more we read, more we study and meditate the word, that word gets down into our spirit man, and the faith is released into our spirit man, and the spirit man begins to walk by faith. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 says, "The just shall live by faith." Who are the just? Just are the ones that has been justified by the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The born-again believers are the just. They are as though they have never sinned, justified. So that these new born-again believers, we will begin to walk in by faith and not by sight. In 2 Corinthians 5, 7, it says, "We walk by faith and not by sight." When we get born again, the old nature is taken away. Now, old nature, I explained this in one of my messages, the second message, that is ruled pretty much by fear. We are controlled by fear because that's what came from the fall of man. That was part of our nature. The fear, the anxieties, the doubt and the unbelief, all that came from that fallen nature. And then when we got born again, our nature changed. We received the nature of God once again. In this new born again nature, now we have the ability and the power to begin to receive the faith of God from Him, from His word, and begin to walk by faith. And the Bible says, now this new creation, the new person, is going to have to walk. The just shall walk by faith. They are not going to walk by feelings. They are not going to walk by what they see and what they can touch but they are going to walk by faith. And again, 2 Corinthians 5:7, it says, we walk by faith and not by sight. The believers have to come to a place to be able to walk by faith. We cannot look on the situation. We cannot focus our eyes on the situation, all the things that are going around us, because if we do, we are going to be full of fear and full of anxiety, and we are going to miss what God has for us, because God has an awesome plan for the believer, and He wants us to believe His word rather than believe everything going on around us and be fearful and miss what He has for us. So we as believers, this is for believers in Christ, have to come to a place that we are so full of the Word of God, and through that Word, the faith is released into our spirit, and we'll begin to walk by faith and not by sight. That means we are not going to walk by feelings. Feelings might say one thing, but your faith says something else. And we have to base our faith on the Word of God alone. We cannot base our faith on the circumstance. We can base our faith on the political situation, economical situation in this world. We cannot base our faith on anything that this world has, because the Bible says this world is passing away. The things of this world are passing away. But if you put your faith on the things of this world, the political system, the economical system, or anything else that this world has to offer, if we put our faith and our trust in that, it is going to fail us. And the only way a believer can be strong and have a steadfast walk with Christ is putting your whole and complete trust in this Word of God that is totally infallible, totally unfailing, the infallible Word of God that will never fail. Jesus said, the heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Because if His one word from His word fails, then the whole universe, everything has to fail, because the Bible says that He is upholding everything. The whole of creation is upheld by His word. So this is the kind of word that we have in our hands. This Bible is God's word, and every word in this Bible has God's faith injected into it. It's impregnant with the faith of God. So when we begin to take this word into us, what happens is that faith is released into our spirit, and that spirit man begins to grow in God's faith. And when we have God's faith, then we can look at any situation, look at any circumstance that faces us and say, I do not put my trust. I'm not going to be moved by what I see, but I'm going to stand and I'm going to believe what God's word says concerning this situation is exactly the way it is going to come to pass. I want to read Isaiah 55 verse 10 through 11. This is talking about God, about His word. And this is what He says. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I have sent it. God says, just as the rain comes and it waters the earth and helps the seed to grow, and it produces a harvest and it gives food to the eater, in the same way He says, my word that goes out of my mouth will never come back to me void, but it will accomplish exactly what I said it is going to accomplish, and it is going to succeed in the thing which I spoke it to. And if God backs up His word, He says, you can bank on my word, because I am myself backing my word. If God backs His word up, then we can for sure put our faith and our whole trust in that word and begin to operate in this word regardless of what our circumstances are, regardless of what the situations in life is. Because God's word will always come to pass. If we do not give up, if we do not doubt, and we will not get discouraged, but we stand firm in that word until God brings it to pass. It will surely come to pass because God cannot fail. His word cannot fail. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please Him." Without faith, it is impossible to please God. "For he who comes to God must believe that He is." First of all, anybody that comes to God must believe that God exists, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. God is saying, you cannot please me other than faith. Without faith, you can please me. Doubt and unbelief does not please God. The only way we can please God is simple trust and faith in God, knowing that God's word is true, what God says is true, and child believing it like a little child, having childlike faith, total trust. And He says, this is the one that He says, I will reward. He said, He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Now, faith, it comes through the Word of God. Now, this is a process. A person does not grow into great faith overnight. It's a process. The more we read and study and meditate the Word, the more of the faith of God that is deposited into our spirit. And most of the time, you are not even going to know how much faith you are going to have. You have until you face a situation, and all at once, your spirit man will rise up and begin to stand in faith in the Word of God that you have already deposited into your spirit. That Word will come forth, and it will give you strength and a faith that you didn't even know that you had, to stand until your answer comes. Now, at the beginning, this faith is like a little mustard seed. And God gives faith to a person to believe on Him and to receive Christ as his Savior. And He gives a little measure of faith. The Bible says it's a measure of faith that He gives us. And with that measure, we believe in God. We come to know Christ. We get born again. And that measure begins to grow. Now, He kind of likens this measure to like a little mustard seed. He said, the kingdom of God is like, heaven is like a mustard seed. And He said, it's the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it grows into a huge tree, and it even gives covering to the fowls of the air. And that little seed grew up, and this is how what faith will do. You receive a little mustard seed faith from God at the beginning, and the more you feed that little mustard seed with the Word of God, and you pray, you read the Word, you meditate, you think on the Word, and you begin to exercise that Word, you begin to obey that Word, you day by day you're walking in that Word, and all at once that little mustard seed begins to grow little by little, and after a while it's going to produce a great mustard seed tree, in which that not only that you have the faith to believe for your own needs and for your own situations in life and to overcome those situations through God's faith, but you will be a person that through your faith you will be able to bless others, you'll be able to pray and stand for others, for their needs and for their situation that they're going through life, and you will be able to bring about God's help in their lives through your faith. And so that's what happens as a person grows in Christ. This is not only for you, it's also it's going to be a blessing to many people that are around you. You can exercise your faith not only for your needs, but also for the needs of the others. And God is telling us today that it is something that we need to pay attention to and really begin to establish in is this faith of God, because faith of God will help us to overcome and live a victorious life. Now, God did not promise us an easy life, and He did not say everything is going to be perfect once we get born again. It's furthest from the truth, because if you read the Bible, that's not what He's saying. But our faith will always help us to overcome, and our faith will always carry us through in the hard times, in the dark times. It will carry us and bring us on the other side as in victory and as great people of great faith that can truly has a testimony for God's glory. I want to read this scripture from Mark. It is talking about these disciples of Christ. And he rebuked his disciples at one time that they did not have faith. And I'm going to read this. This is in Mark chapter 4, verse 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm, a wind, and waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. Jesus and them, his disciples, were crossing this lake, and the great wind came, and of course it's a hurricane, you know, type of wind, and then here comes all the water comes into the boat, and the Bible says, verse 38 says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat this whole time while they were trying to row the boat across the lake to the other side. And finally they knew that they couldn't do this, and so they come to Jesus, and they say, Master, don't you care that we perish? And that shows the lack of faith. Here they have the Son of God in the boat. Here they have God in the boat, and they are fearful that they are going to drown. Now that kind of, when you think about it, is kind of foolish, but that's exactly what they did. They didn't realize that here is God in their boat, and why should they be fearful? But we can be the same way too. You know, this is an example for us too. We can be the same way too. We have God living in us through the power of the Holy Spirit, but how many times situations comes in our way, and we get fearful, we get worried, we get all stressed out, and we lose the focus on God's word, and we try to fix things ourselves rather than going to the word and trusting God and standing on the word and waiting till God works it out for us. So here Jesus, and he gets up, and the Bible says, verse 39, it says, he rose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Where there is no faith, there will be fear. Fear is an absence of faith. Where there is an absence of faith, there will be always will be fear, because fear came from the fall, the fallen nature. That came from the Satan's nature, which is so full of fear. he's fear of full of judgment. He has the fear of judgment on him. So that fear is it comes into the human race and came into the human race through the fall. And when we are not walking by faith, then our hearts are going to be full of fear. So that's why that it is important for us to be able to really get into the Word and receive God's faith into our hearts. And Jesus said, "Why are you so fearful? Why don't you have faith? Don't you know that I'm God? Don't you know that I'm here to help you? How do you think that this boat is going to sink with God? I mean, really, do you think God is going to sink and die? No. So, but that's what they thought at that moment. They just caught completely lost focus. Why? Because they were looking at the wind and the storm that is coming at them, and they lost focus. Their God took their eyes off of God, and they put on their eyes on the wind and the storm. And how many times we do the same thing? We take our eyes off of God. We are walking fine. We have faith, and we think we have faith, and we are walking by faith, and something big, some big storm comes into our lives, and all at once we see that, look at the storm and the problems that is coming at us, and all at once we get fearful and we lose the focus. We take our eyes off of our focus that should be on the Word of God and on Jesus. We put it on the storm, on that on the wind. And the moment we do that, we begin to sink. And Jesus is saying, do not fear, but have faith. Now, I want to read another passage in Mark chapter 5. This is about a woman that exercised her faith. And this is a beautiful story, I believe, that Holy Spirit records in the Word. And it is Mark chapter 5, verse 27. It says, this was a woman that came to Jesus to receive her healing. When she, this woman, has heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the plague. This was a woman that had a hemorrhage, and she was suffering, and the Bible says that she had gone to many, many doctors and trying to treat, and she has spent all of her money on doctors and physicians, and she never got better. She got, in fact, worse. And somebody told her about Jesus, and Jesus was coming to her town, and she thought in her mind, if I just can go and touch the little hem of his garment, I know I am going to be made whole. She exercised her faith. She heard the Word of God. Somebody said, Jesus is healing. Jesus is coming to town, and she has heard the miracles, the healings, the deliverances, and the things that Jesus, the miracles that Jesus was doing. She has heard it. So she thought to herself, if I just go and touch just that hem of his garment, he doesn't even have to pray for me. He doesn't even have to lay his hand on me. If I just touch that garment, I know I am going to be healed. So she came, and she probably, and there were throngs of people around, and the Bible says they were pressing on Jesus. They were just, you know, pushing. But this woman came. Probably she had to kind of crawl between the people, and she said that she went and just touched his hem of the clothes. And the Bible says when she did that, she felt her bleeding stop. And then the Bible says, Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now that is a very interesting thing. In the next verse it says, and his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you, sayest thou, who touched me? Jesus instantly knew that somebody has touched him with faith, because there were throngs of people that is touching Jesus, pressing on Jesus. But that was not the touch he was talking about. When she touched him with that faith, the power of God that is in Jesus came out of him and went into her body, and she was instantly healed. And Jesus felt that touch. He felt the virtue, the power leaving his body, and instantly he knew that somebody touched him with their faith, and that's the reason that that virtue or the power left him. And he stopped and he said, "Who touched me?" And of course, the disciples had no idea. They said, "Well, you know, there are so many people around you. Why are you asking who touched me?" He said, "No, that somebody touched me with their faith." And then it says, verse 33, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth." And so the woman knew, you know, it was her. She came, she was fearful. She didn't know what Jesus would be saying. And she came and she told him the truth. And listen to the response of Jesus. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith has made you whole. Go in peace and be made whole of your plague." Jesus said, "Your faith that you believed that I could heal you has made you whole. Go in peace and be made whole." How many of you today are in situations that you need a touch from God? How many of you need to touch the hem of his clothes in simple childlike faith, like this woman, and to draw from him the power of God into your situation, into your life, into your body, so that whatever that you are going through can be fixed by his power? The Bible says, "With God, nothing is impossible." And Jesus said, "All things are possible to him that believes." All things are possible to him that believes. Because with God, all things are possible. There's no person on this face of this earth that has a situation that is too hard for God. It doesn't matter how bad and how bleak and how dark that situation may be, there is always an answer and always a way out for that person from God if they just choose to believe, if they just choose to exercise that little faith, the mustard seed faith that God will give and put in their heart to believe. And he exercised that. Jesus said, "If you have a faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Be thou removed and be cast into the midst of the sea,' and it shall be done to them." If you have as much as a little as a mustard seed, the tiny little seed, if you have that much faith, you can tell this mountain to be moved and be cast into the sea, and doubt not in your heart, it shall be done. All you need is a mustard seed faith to begin your walk, to start seeing what God wants to do in your life. If you are a person that you are in a situation, you are facing something in life, and to you, it's totally impossible. There is no answer. And I encourage you today to get into the Word of God. Read the scriptures and find scriptures that pertaining to the situation that you are going through, and begin to seek God and pray and begin to exercise your faith like this woman did, and touch Jesus with your faith. The Bible says the only way we can please God is through the faith, and you will receive your answer, what you need. I want to pray for you right now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you have come to give us life and life abundant. Your word says that you will never leave us nor forsake us. You are always there for us. And Father, I just thank you that you will help each listener to get hold of your word that you have spoken, the word of God, and so saturate themselves in the word that your faith will be released into their innermost being, and the faith of God will begin to grow in their hearts. And Father, I thank you that regardless of whatever the situation or the circumstance, they will be able to stand firm and steadfast in your word, knowing that God will come through in their situation and bring them the victory each and every time. Father, I praise you and I thank you for your goodness in each one of our lives. It's not anything we have done to deserve your goodness. It's just because of your grace, your unmerited, unearned favor in our lives. I thank you for your mercy, for your grace, and I thank you for the faith that you have given us to believe and to press and to move forward and to receive everything that you have for our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.